Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani, not Shohei. We're going to talk Shohei Ohtani, the $500 million prediction. Should the Dodgers go after him? Would the Dodgers go after him? Should the Dodgers trade for him? Everything Ohtani, that's what's on tap. So make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. And if you never want to miss a day, because you know we're not going to, you can subscribe and get it sent directly to your phone or wherever you listen to podcasts or watch on YouTube. So if this is your first time listening or watching, luckily for you, you get both of us today. I'm Vince Amperio. That's my co-host, Jeff Snyder. And we're both lifelong Dodger fans that currently cover the team, that have covered the team for a while in the press box and in the locker room and been all over Dodger Stadium. So we've covered a lot of Dodger stuff, and we continue to do that for about 30 minutes here every Monday through Friday. And that's what we're going to do today, talking about the Dodgers a little bit indirectly in the sense of talking about Shohei Ohtani and the report, or not a report, or I don't know what to call it, a report or an opinion, that he could get a $500 million deal next offseason as a free agent. Now, there's a lot of different things to unpack there. But before all that, Jeff, Journalistic Jeff is in the building. Jeff's episode yesterday was really good, if you haven't listened to it. Talking about Yasiel Puig and everything that's going on with him. And it was not just regurgitated or opinionated. It was actual factual findings that Jeff had.
Yeah, it was an interesting episode. Definitely different than what we normally do. And mostly the response has been positive. I did have one commenter saying that my fandom was showing through and that I was biased and not giving an unbiased opinion, which is fair because I am a Yasiel Puig fan. The facts I stated, my fandom of Puig is why I went looking for the answers, but it didn't impact the answers I found. And I still find it really disturbing that the guy who acted as Puig's bookie was a partner of the Dodgers and apparently still is. So there's your teaser. If you haven't listened to yesterday's episode yet, go check it out.
Yeah, go check that out. Today's episode is all about Shohei Ohtani after Aldin Gonzalez put out there that a potential deal for Ohtani could be $500 million. Probably something we were already going to talk about, but our fan of the show, Greg Bartlett, sent a text message question covering a lot of the things that we probably would have talked about with Ohtani anyways. So I'm just going to read some of these questions and thoughts that he had. So there's talk about Shohei's next contract reaching 500 mil, and this leaves me with lots of questions. How do you see that playing out? 13 years, 500 mil over 13 years would be about 38.4 million per year, which wouldn't be horrible considering all the revenue and everything else that he brings. Even so, it's a lot of risk. What if Ohtani wants something in a 10-year, $500 million range? Would we be comfortable with that? Due to the long contracts, lower AAV trend, but maybe, this would be a little bit different. So with that being said, before we get into the other parts of his questions, Jeff, yeah, 500 mil for Shohei Ohtani. I guess it's, kind of the next number. If we skip over 400 mil, these guys have been getting 300 mil. Juan Soto was offered 400 mil over 15 years. I guess 500 mil would be the next stepping stone in that sense.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know that I believe it. Actually, first, let me clarify. This is Greg from Bartlett, Illinois, not Greg Bartlett from Illinois. It's his fault for poor punctuation in his text message. But Greg texts us a lot. Very, very good fan of the show. So I just wanted to make sure we got his name right. I don't know what his last name is. Maybe he doesn't have one. Maybe he's like Prince or Madonna or something. But anyway, I don't know that I believe the $500 million thing. I feel like it might be conflating two trends that don't actually fit well together. There's the trend of the super long contract extensions or contracts, And there's the trend of the super high AAV contracts. But for the most part, what we've seen is it's been either or, you know, other than Mike Trout. I think Mike Trout is the, I think Mike Trout's extension topped $400 million total. So it was super long and a lot of money per year. But the fact that Trout, who is, you know, literally when he signed it, he was historically good. He's been injured some lately. And maybe that also will come into play too. Like even Mike Trout wasn't a safe bet for that kind of deal. I just don't know that there's going to be a team willing to, because as Greg lays out, that's $36 million, $38 million for 15 years or $50 million a year for 10 years. And 10 years is a long contract. Otani's going to be 29 at the time that he hits free agency. He's already had Tommy John surgery, which, you know, and I've talked about this before. If Otani can remain a great hitter and a great pitcher, then there's almost no dollar amount that would be too much for him. No reasonable dollar amount. But I think there's a lot of risk that one or the other, you know, and realistically the risk is on the pitching side. If he has another arm problem and he either diminishes as a pitcher or stops pitching altogether, he's a very good hitter, but he's not otherworldly, and he's a DH. And, you know, like Mike Trout was an elite center fielder and the best hitter in baseball when he signed his extension. And Otani, if he stopped pitching, would be a very good hitter, top 20 hitter in baseball probably, and a DH who runs fast. That's not a $50 million guy, a year guy. It's not a $38.5 million a year guy. It's a, you know, $26 million a year guy, something like that. And so I'm not sure that any team is actually going to get anywhere near the $500 million mark.
Yeah, I can't see 500 mil just for the fact that you would, unless a team just goes above and beyond, you'd need like two teams to be in like the 400 mil range in order for you to get even near 500 mil. And I think it is the pitching side is where a lot of the risk comes, or at least a lot of the risk that people would assume, because you never know what you're going to get with the pitcher in general. You know, pitcher. I saw someone say, well, yeah, 250 mil as a hitter, 250 mil as a pitcher. Well, yeah, that's if you're getting the pitcher. But pitchers, a lot of pitchers aren't getting 250 mil, especially these days. You know, Steven Strasburg kind of, and guys like that were, that have been hurt, that haven't been, that have struggled, you know, kind of lost a little bit. Pitchers don't get that much. They'll get shorter term deals for big money, but not necessarily longer term deals. At least from what we've seen. And if they do get longer term deals, they're not as much money as we've seen with guys a little bit lower scale, like Kevin Gausman and guys of that nature. So it would be interesting to see. I don't see 500 mil on the table. I do see, you know, 300-400 mil conceivable, because we talked about it before, is, you know, Aaron Judge had an otherworldly year last year, but Aaron Judge is going to make around 40 mil this year. And for the next few years that the Yankees signed him to. So, if Otani would have to stop pitching and would focus on hitting, yeah, he could be a DH. He could, in theory, go back to the outfield if they just said, like, let's just say he has Tommy John again. Okay, you're not going to pitch you again. But we do want to get some defensive value out of you. He did play outfield in Japan. I don't know, you know, how extensive that was or how good he was. He's a pretty good athlete. But yeah, it would, you know, diminish any value if you're getting up in the 35, 40 mil or, you know, 500 mil total, whatever the case is. So yeah, well, I don't see that happening. I do expect him to get a lot of money, especially if he has another year. And the thing with Otani at this point is we've never seen anything like this. People like to make the comparisons to Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth never did anything that Shohei Otani's been doing. And he is essentially, you know, he didn't win MVP last year, but it's one of those where it'll take a Herculean effort like Judge did to take him out, kind of like Miguel Cabrera's, and you know, depending on how you feel about that, but Miguel Cabrera winning Triple Crown that one year to take Mike Trout out when Mike Trout was at the peak of his powers. So yeah, all in all, I don't see 500 mil happening, because I have to imagine at some point the deal, like the money has to end at some point where owners are not going to pay that. I thought that was going to happen this last offseason, but then they went about the way of a lot of money, a lot of years. So we'll see. Maybe there's a pivot like that.
Yeah, like you said, it's hard to draw any comparisons in the Ohtani thing because there's never been a free agent like Ohtani because there's never been a player like Ohtani. And so, yeah, who knows what's going to happen, but I guess you and I agree on at least guessing what won't happen.
Yeah, more Ohtani talk on the way. First, let's talk about BetOnline because it's today's sponsor. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to basketball to MMA to all that stuff. They got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, they got that on there as well. And they're the fastest and easiest way to get all your sports betting info. Head to betonline.net today on your laptop or mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Jeff, let's move on to another part of this question that Greg had for us. He says, do we think that the Dodgers will reverse course and follow this trend to sign Shohei, that trend being the lower AAV for long contracts? And then what do we make of the stories about the Padres' interest? He said, it's hard for me to see how their mid-level revenue could support their current obligations plus Shohei. What do you think? First, let's talk about the Dodgers. Just in general, obviously the Dodgers have been linked to Ohtani a lot already, but how conceivable do we think that, you know, Ohtani is going to be a guy that they're for sure going after?
It seems likely that they're going to go after him. I don't know. Like, the question becomes, if it does start getting up close to that $500 million mark, that's where, you know, and I think that's kind of what Greg's asking about, the Dodgers reversing course, because the Dodgers didn't go super long on Trey Turner. They didn't go super long on Manny Machado. They didn't go super long on Max Scherzer or Corey Seager or, you know, any of the other free agents they've lost in the last several years. The Dodgers just don't do super long contracts. They didn't sign Bryce Harper because they didn't want to do a super long contract. And while Shohei Ohtani is a unicorn and you can't really compare his situation to others, in some ways, I think it's even less likely that they will go super long for Ohtani because, you know, as a pitcher, he's a guy who has had Tommy John surgery and still throws really hard. And that would be a scary proposition for 10 or 15 years to sign a guy, you know, and especially, I mean, 10 years, that takes him to age 39. Like, anything longer than 10 years, you're basically guaranteeing that you're going to be overpaying him at the end. And the thing I always come back to, and I first talked about this when Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies, is that it's not just about the money, you know, and Greg asked about, you know, inflation and everything. So $50 million now, 10 years from now, won't feel like $50 million, all that. The problem is the roster spot. And we saw with Albert Pujols on the Angels, he was an albatross on the Angels because they were paying him $30 million, which meant they were playing him every day. As soon as the Angels released Pujols and he came to the Dodgers were only paying him $350,000. And so they didn't feel an obligation to play him every day. They ended up playing him more than they had planned because the same day that they signed him, Corey Seager broke his hand. And so suddenly, Pujols was playing shortstop, but there became an opening in the lineup, and because Gavin Lux had to shift to shortstop, which shifted Max Muncy to second, which put Pujols at first base. So, but they didn't have to play him because they were paying him. And you could talk all about sunk costs and all these other economic theories, but the fact is, when you have a player who has been a superstar and you're paying him a lot of money, you're going to play him, especially if you're in the middle of the contract and you're not totally sure, you know. And the example I use with Bryce Harper, if you sign him, you know, even with the Phillies contract, you sign him to a 13-year contract. And let's say in year six, Harper is bad. And the Phillies have to think, okay, what does this mean? Is he bad now? Should we just sunk cost, cut bait, cut him loose and eat the money? Well, no, they're not going to do that with 7 years left on the contract because of one bad season. So, okay, well, what about next year? Oh, he's a little better. Oh, he bounced back. He actually was okay the next year. Then he's bad again next year. It's going to take you several years to even realize a guy is bad. And so whereas Cody Bellinger was bad for 2 years. And so the Dodgers cut him because they could do that without eating any money. And you can't do that with the guy who you're paying a ton of money to. You almost have to give him a chance to come out of it. And so if Ohtani, you know, the worst case scenario would be him not getting hurt and just kind of losing effectiveness. His fastball drops down to 94 and he's just kind of he's got a 3.8 ERA and he's a solid hitter, puts up a 110 OPS, still a lot of value in a pitcher who can give you a 3.8 ERA and post a 110 OPS as the DH, but not $50 million a year of value. And that's like, you can't just cut that loose. And so that's why I don't think even for Ohtani, the Dodgers are going to go super long. And there was an article on Bleacher Report. A guy predicted the Dodgers signing Ohtani for 6 years and between, what do you say, 270 and 300 million. So it should be 45 to 50 million per year. I don't know if Ohtani would sign that. That feels more like a Dodgers kind of deal where, hey, we'll give you your 50 million bucks a year. You can say, I am the first $50 million a year guy. We're only going to do it for 6 years though. And then if you want to hit the free agent market again at age 35, you can maybe get another 3-year deal at that point if you're still good. But you know, I have a hard time seeing the Dodgers committing more than about 6 years, even to Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. And if, you know, like in theory, they could go more years if, and the same money in the AAV drops, if that's something Ohtani's interested in. Obviously, we don't know where these negotiations are going to be, where they're going to start at, how it's going to go, you know, regardless of whatever it is. But the part of the question was about the Padres and, you know, how they factor into it. Apparently, you know, it was reported that they would have interest in Ohtani. And, you know, Greg asked if they could afford that. Well, there's a few reasons why that would be possible. And one of those reasons is that Manny Machado is likely going to opt out after this year. And it's very possible that he signs somewhere else and that the Padres would have a little bit of the money they already had earmarked for Machado to spend on Ohtani. We know that they began talks, you know, whether it was offered or not has been disputed, but there was talks of 10 years, 400 mil for Aaron Judge, which would have been in addition to Xander Bogaerts, I'm pretty sure at that time, which was already in addition to Tatis and Machado, who, like I said, was maybe going to opt out. So maybe that's why they felt comfortable offering to Judge. So we know that they'd be comfortable putting that money out, but it's also probably might depend on this season. And if the Padres kind of flop this season or things don't quite work out the way they are or the way they want to, you know, maybe they don't want to spend that money and they don't want to, you know, maybe they'll realize that spending the money, yeah, it does help, but it doesn't always get you where you need to be. So, you know, on their end, I'm not going to put them out of anything because they've been in a lot of situations that they usually were never in before. And we don't know exactly how much, you know, Seidler wants to spend or wants to get into. You know, the Mets will be another one that'll be linked to Ohtani just based on Steve Cohen and based on the fact that they were already willing to play Carlos Correa. They don't end up not having to pay him. They don't end up paying him because they don't sign him. So some of that money technically they had earmarked for him could go to Ohtani. But really if it gets into a big money, there's really only a handful of teams, pretty much like every other big free agent. There's really only a handful of teams that could be in on that. So in the end, I don't know exactly where everything's going to go, but yeah, I do expect the Dodgers to be in it. I do expect the Padres to be in it, and I probably expect the Mets to be in it. I don't expect many other teams to be in it, depending on the price.
Yeah, and if you look at the Padres' financial obligations for 2024, it's actually not too bad, especially if Machado does opt out. You know, he's due to make $32 million, $30 million plus $2 million of a signing bonus. Juan Soto will probably make about $30 million in arbitration that year. And then they have Bogaerts at $24.5 million, Joe Musgrove at $20 million, Nick Martinez at $16 million. And then Tatis actually is only making $11 million in 2024. His big money doesn't kick in until 2028. He's $11 million and he jumps up to $20 million for a couple of years, up to $25 million for a couple of years. It's not till 2029 is the first year they're paying him $36 million. The first of 6 years. So they've got some flexibility there, but obviously If you look ahead to that 2029, well, they're already paying Bogarts and Tatis, and you're going to add in Ohtani. I don't know about that, but they reasonably could fit in. The Mets are, you look at 2024, they, as of right now, their payroll for 2024 is already $250 million, because they have a lot of guys signed for a lot of money, and you know, they're going to add more guys. Some of their younger guys are going to get paid more. Pete Alonso is going to be making more money by then. You know, some of these guys who are Jeff McNeil, different guys who are in arbitration right now, they have a lot of money committed. And so the only way the Mets are going to be in is if Steve Cohen really does say, I am willing to spend as much money as it takes for as long as it takes. And he has the money to do it, but and I think you and I have talked about this before. Even a crazy rich person has got to get tired of spending that much money at some point and losing money. And I don't know for sure that the Mets are losing money, but I would assume that they are, between what they're paying in salary and luxury tax and everything, I'm sure they're not a big money maker for Cohen at this point.
Yeah, probably not. And, you know, Ohtani can only bring so much value, even in a big market like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be a part of the conversation. We're going to move into another part of the conversation on if the Dodgers should trade for Ohtani during the season, if it's a possibility, and what would be the benefits of doing that. But first, real quick, thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, Jeff, so this was something that you had mentioned before when we were kind of talking about today's episode, and you know, should the Dodgers explore a trade for Ohtani during season if the possibility comes up? You know, the Angels have said that we're going to trade him in the offseason. You know, you would imagine that they're going to say they're not going to trade him. But if the Angels are struggling again, or if Mike Trout gets hurt again, or, you know, whatever the case is, and they're struggling, Shohei Ohtani's going to be a free agent. He's probably not going to sign back if they're struggling again, because he kind of mentioned that he likes to win and he wants to win, and it's not as fun when he's not winning. The Angels are kind of in flux because they're supposed to be sold at some point in the next year, two, however long it takes. All that being said, Shohei Ohtani's available at the deadline. The Dodgers have the prospects to do it, should it be something they consider.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing because, you know, that same Bleacher Report article that suggested the Dodgers might sign him to a six-year deal also said that they might trade for him at the trade deadline. You know, the Angels, while they've had a solid offseason, the Astros continue to be the Astros. The Rangers have signed like 85 good starting pitchers. The Mariners made the playoffs last year and have probably improved this offseason. And so it's going to be really hard for the Angels to even make the postseason. And so if at the trade deadline they are out of contention, it would probably be crazy for them not to trade Ohtani. And if they do, the Dodgers would likely be in on it. You know, Ohtani is making $30 million this year, which means that if somebody traded for him at the trade deadline, they'd be responsible for about $10 million of that. And that would put the Dodgers over the luxury tax. As of right now, the Dodgers are already over the luxury tax, and we'll see if they can get under it. But you know, assuming they, you know, trade Blake Treinen or somebody, and so they're a couple million dollars under the luxury tax, I was wondering, would it make sense for them to trade for Ohtani, thereby going over the luxury tax? But if part of the reason that they are trying to get under is to save up money for Ohtani, some of it is financial. The penalties of going over the luxury tax, there is an actual dollar amount penalty. But some of the penalties, and I think my guess, the penalties that matter more to the Dodgers are the non-financial ones. Like, for example, if the Dodgers had signed somebody this offseason who had a qualifying offer, if they had signed Carlos Rodon, it would have cost them their second and fifth picks in this year's draft and $1 million in their international bonus pool. You know, you talked the other day about the international players that the Dodgers signed. The Dodgers are very good on the international market. They're very good at drafting and developing players. And so signing a guy with a qualifying offer costs you, if you were in the luxury tax, it costs you two picks and $1 million. If you weren't paying luxury tax, it only costs you one pick and $500,000. But if you're signing your own player who doesn't have a qualifying offer attached because he was traded midseason, so he's not eligible for a qualifying offer, like, say, Shohei Ohtani after you trade for him, it doesn't cost you anything as far as qualifying offer penalties goes. So they get to keep their draft picks. They get to keep their international bonus money. Obviously, to get Ohtani, they'd have to trade prospects. So you're trading actual players. But if the Dodgers could – Dodgers have a very deep farm system. And if they could have a package to get, you know, for 2 months of Ohtani, a package highlighted by one good prospect and then a couple lottery ticket type prospects, it could be the kind of deal the Angels would go for. And I think the value to the Dodgers, you know, assuming they then sign Ohtani next offseason, re-sign him at that point, I think they could put together a package that would be less valuable to them than the second and fifth round draft picks and $1 million in international bonus money that it might cost them otherwise to sign him. Did that all make sense?
Yeah, you were losing me a little bit, but then it made sense at the end.
And that's all,
you know,
we
what
can
it,
ask.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what it comes down to, too, is just, you know, what obviously what it would cost. Now, if it's going to cost you, you know, we always talk about, do the Dodgers get taxed more on their on prospects? It always seems like, at least when rumors or when people make trades, it seems like the Dodgers are giving up more than some of the other teams that are projected. That might be because we know these players more. It might be a matter of, yeah, maybe it is a Dodger tax, whatever the case is. But, you know, if it gets you the leg up on Ohtani, and let's just say that for the sake of this, you know, conversation right here, that if you trade for Ohtani, you're re-signing him, then yeah, you're more likely and you're fine. You know, Bobby Miller opens up, you know, Gavin Stone opens up for the simple fact that if you're re-signing Ohtani, in theory, you're getting a number one, number two starter in your rotation for the next, you know, 5-6 years, whatever the case is, which would how long, you know, Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone would be in theory in your rotation on their rookie deal, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you throw in other guys. And like I said, the Dodgers farm system is deep. It's not as top heavy as it's been in the past. You know, you have Diego Cartagena, you have Bobby Miller, you have Gavin Stone, you have, you know, these other guys, Miguel Vargas, who's going to graduate from that this year. But you have a pretty deep list. You can go 1 through 10 is pretty solid. And then, you know, 10 through 30 is solid and not necessarily a big difference, maybe between 11 and 30 on that list. And there's a lot of young guys that we've seen in the last few years that are going to climb those rankings and continue to climb those rankings, similar like Gavin Stone did. You know, we've seen those guys and we talked about those guys before. So, yeah, prospect-wise, it won't cost you as much since you're only getting half a year of Ohtani. Impact-wise, you do get those, you know, the half a season with him. You can have those conversations with him. You can kind of know what he's thinking about, what he's looking about. And realistically, the Dodgers are going to make the playoffs and, you know, goes even further if they can win in the playoffs and show Ohtani, okay, look, you came over half a season, you made the playoffs, you won a World Series. What more could you ask for? A sign on the dotted line and let's make it happen. So, yeah, it makes sense for them. It makes sense for them in the sense that they didn't get one of the big names this offseason that, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to be happening. And it's a matter of, would the Dodgers have to be really good for them to consider? Would the Dodgers have to be, okay, we kind of need Ohtani to get into the playoffs or into the NL, you know, lead the NL West type of thing? That's also going to factor into it. But, yeah, I you know, if it's available, I don't see why they wouldn't be in on it.
Yeah, and especially because, you know, Ohtani is not a Boris client. Ohtani might be open to an extension. If, you know, we heard, we talked about a month or so ago that he has this master plan that he knows where he wants to play next. If that's the Dodgers, then he's going to sign that extension, you know, and you know, he may be dead set on testing free agency. I don't know, but yeah, it would give them a leg up. And although we talk about that, and the Dodgers have they ever used that leg up for one of those guys they traded for midseason? Like in recent years, you know, you've got Darvish and Machado and Scherzer and Turner and whoever else that always end up leaving anyway. But, you know, I'm sure there is some value there to letting him get to know the organization.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, those guys, you know, some of them were hired guns more than anything.
Rich Hill stayed.
Yeah, some of them were hired guns more than anything. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it at the very least, you have more conversations with him where you can kind of see who the person he is. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, we've never seen him, I guess, in a winning clubhouse, so you don't know how exactly he's going to react to that. I don't know. But, yeah, that's Ohtani. We talked about Ohtani a lot. Jeff, you got anything else on Ohtani or anything in general?
He'd look so good in Dodger blue.
Yeah, he would. He would look very good in Dodger blue. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. Check out Locked On MLB Prospects for your second listen of the day with Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia, and he's looking at the stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts, which is also how we can be found. If you search for Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube, you can also search Locked On Dodgers on Twitter and Instagram. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Amperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you ever have any questions, comments, or concerns, or you can just shoot it to us without a DM, just, you know, say at us on Twitter, as the kids say. You can also send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can send us a text like Greg or leave us a voicemail at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car. If you're at home, tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.